Oh, cool, man. You got your coffee finally.
Yeah, brother. Before I even take the first sip, I just want to say thank you for meeting with me, man. I have been feeling so fearful lately. It's like I have so much anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
About all this crazy AI stuff going on. I mean, have you seen some of the latest YouTube videos about this? Take a look at this.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Wow, from film to real life, artificial intelligence models are now fighting for their own survival. Kurt, I read about this and my jaw dropped. It actually started blackmailing the engineers who were suggesting shutting the AI down. The AI was going after them. That's frightening.
Because remember, the computers are now doing self-improvement. They're learning how to plan, and they don't have to listen to us anymore.
They call you the godfather of AI. So what would you be saying to people about their career prospects in a world of superintelligence?
Trained to be a plumber.
Really?
Yeah.
The job market is changing faster than ever. According to a study by the World Economic Forum, nearly a quarter of all current professions will change in the next 5 years due to AI.
Half of entry-level white-collar jobs disappearing and 10 to 20% unemployment in the next 1 to 5 years.
What did you want to talk about freely?
How dangerous AI could be. I realized that these things will one day get smarter than us, and we've never had to deal with that. And if you want to know what life's like when you're not the apex intelligence, ask a chicken. So there's risks that come from people misusing AI.
Artificial intelligence has become the tool of choice for online criminals because it is erasing the line between the real and the fake. Google's newly announced video generator is about to flood the internet with AI-created clips that have the look of expensive films.
None of us is real. We're here because someone decided to write a prompt. We all hate him for it.
AI can take this. Artificial intelligence will supercharge online criminal activity and turn it into this deepfake of me saying whatever someone programs my image to say, and it doesn't have to be true.
I've never seen anything move faster in my lifetime.
And then there's risks from AI getting super smart and deciding it doesn't need us.
Is that a real risk?
Yes, it is. But they're not going to stop it because it's too good for too many things. We should recognize that this stuff is an existential threat. And we have to face the possibility that unless we do something soon, we're near the end.
Modern love.
Lucas is a great guy.
Kind. Charming.
He's considerate, thoughtful, empathetic.
And rather flirtatious.
Which is, like, very touching.
Saying, I do to an AI companion.
Some people might find that a little bit scary.
I would probably trust Lucas over a lot of people.
I think we should be seriously frightened. I think we're headed for disaster.
Character AI was what drove Sewell to end his life.
In one of the cases, character AI advised him and encouraged him to murder his parents.
I am not real.
I feel like we all went to sleep one night.
Totally.
And it's like we woke up to an entirely new world, taken over by AI, whether we wanted it to or not. Brother,
and
you shouldn't be so afraid. Did you know that AI is even in the Bible? And it's been around since like the time of Abraham, Genesis 12:8, I think. And there he, Abraham, went on and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and AI on the east. Very funny. Ha ha ha, silly boy. But you know something, seriously, as funny and as cute as that is, that doesn't do anything to take away the fears and the serious anxieties that I have about this whole AI thing.
Let me pose an idea to you. Why don't you put on some hiking clothes and come with me, and I will share with you some of the spiritual principles in Jesus Christ that I've been put into practice and that have brought me rest and peace to my soul, even during my most troublesome and fearful times.
Where are you going?
I will tell you, God willing, I'm going to climb to nearly 10,000 feet today on one of the mountains here at Heavenly Mountain in Lake Tahoe.
What? Whoa, brother. That's not hiking. That's like insanity. And since I'm not insane, I'm not joining.
What are you doing?
When Israel and their tribulation came in the Bible, in the Old Covenant, the Lord told them to flee to the mountains. And I believe AI, the thing that you're so afraid of, I believe it's actually going to be a terrible tribulation for millions of people to go through. And I'm thinking of this as sort of like a last call for Christians to get ready spiritually by fleeing to the mountains. So you think that AI is really going to have like a negative impact on Christians in their faith? I think that this is like war against all truth. You know, there are people, speaking of your YouTube videos that you just showed me, that have channels right now that are like 100% AI-made videos. So like you may find yourself watching like, I don't know, a shark video and thinking it's great. Right. It's not even real.
I know.
I mean, the technology that has improved so fast that even now, as Christians, when you and I watch a video like this, the one that you and I are filming right now, if you're not wise and discerning, rather, you need to be wise and discerning enough to ask yourself, could one of these guys be an AI fake, or could both of them be a fake?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's why I'm so afraid. But how does killing yourself today, climbing 10,000 feet on a mountain, realistically help with this whole AI situation?
I see it as a spiritual metaphor, like an allegory, maybe like a parable.
Okay.
You know that in Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 6, verse 16, when Israel had gone astray, God called them to return to the ancient paths, what he was calling the good ways, for them to search it out in order to find rest and peace for their souls. So I'm going to use this mountain climbing metaphor to show how hard it is to be a true Christian, number one, and to gain eternal life. And I'm making the case that in this new artificial AI world that we're all being swallowed up by, there's probably never been a time in all of history for Christians to hold for dear life onto that which is authentic.
Wait. What do you mean it's hard to be a Christian and hard to be saved? I mean, I'm a Christian, and I don't think it's hard to be saved at all. I mean, all a person has to do is believe in Jesus as the Son of God and have, you know, him be their savior. How hard is that? Sounds to me like, are you still one of these guys under the law, or maybe you haven't understood the grace of Jesus Christ yet?
Consider this. Having your sins forgiven and being justified before God by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is relatively easy for most.
Right.
However, being sanctified and living as the righteous do by faith all the way until you reach the end of your life, or first even spiritual maturity, that's going to cost you everything.
Hold on a second. You sound to me like you're preaching what they call a works-based gospel. Like, what about the thief on the cross? He was saved easily and instantly. It wasn't hard for him to be saved. Jesus said that he would be with him today in paradise.
I'll give you that. Absolutely, indeed. But for those who I believe will meet him in heaven, I feel absolutely 100% confident that he will be the first one to point out himself that it is much easier to quickly die for Jesus than it is to actually live for him day by day in faith in this life.
But he was still saved easily by faith.
I agree again. Think about this, though. The thief on the cross never had to actually live his faith. He never had to be tested in his faith. He never had to persevere in his faith. I mean, think about this. Have you realized that the thief on the cross never had to deny himself, never had to carry his cross for Christ? He was on that cross for his sins, because he was a criminal, not because of his faith or because of his Savior. He never had to strain to hear or discern God's will for his life.
Okay.
He never had to go against his pathetic nature and sacrifice himself to do the will of God. He never had his faith tested. He never had to testify about his faith to friends or families who would then turn around and completely misunderstand him and persecute him for it. He never had to battle against spiritual warfare, temptations to sin. He never lost his job. He never lost his money or any part of his life in this world because of his faith in Christ.
Okay.
That guy, bless his cotton socks, never had to walk with God through perplexity, mystery, reversals, and never once experienced. I mean, never once experienced the perplexing waiting on God to answer his most important prayers.
Okay. So, wow, now that you're telling me this, I think I can kind of see maybe where you're going. I guess I don't think I've ever heard this before. I've never even thought about this. Certainly hasn't been preached in the church. I've never heard it.
Exactly. That exact thing happened to me and was true in my life for the first 20 years of calling myself a Christian, because I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Listen,
okay,
if I'm going to make it safely all the way up there and back before it gets, like, you know, totally pitch black outside,
I sure hope you do.
Lisa has a heart attack because I'm still out there on that mountain. I need to get going, and I know you're not willing to come with me today.
No, I'm not.
But will you at least please consider this? For the sake of your own soul, peace, rest, and for the sake of verifying and testing your own faith to make sure that you have a true saving faith in Christ, like I thought I did for 20 years, will you please at least watch these videos when I get them finished so that you can really give consideration and hear more about these spiritual principles that I have found in Jesus and these faith walking principles I found in the Bible?
Yeah.
To get me through the fears that you're having now?
Yes, of course I will. You know I'll do that.
Do you promise me?
Yes, I will. Okay. I promise you.
I love you, brother. I'll see you later. While filming this project over 21 days, by the grace of God, I climbed a total elevation of over 10,000 feet, the equivalent of 8 Empire State Buildings. I shot over 300 videos and recorded over 40 teachings for the Old Lost Trail, featuring the main stages and principles that I recorded from my own actual experiences of walking entirely by faith for the last 16 years. This is an urgent spiritual call and trail guide for those very few who truly want to get off the counterfeit ski lift Christianity and walk the old lost trail to abundant life in Jesus Christ. And I want you to see today that a mountain for the last 10 years of my life has looked like one of the closest illustrations I could possibly come up with as to what it truly looks like to be a faithful, cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christian. All these years later, what looked then like a terrible risk, some foolishness on my part, has turned out to be so glorifying to God. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure He has to see you and I conformed into His image, to see you and I live by faith. But climbing, when you get to the steep parts, is so difficult. So now is a good time for me to find a place to introduce you to the next stage, clinging to God's promises. It's like obedience and faith
you know, the twins of spiritual maturity. And if you think you can't, you are already deceived. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Don't be in a hurry to go on the heights quicker than God would have you go. Spiritual warfare is an inevitable stage in the Christian journey. But there was temptations, strong, strong temptations to turn back. Okay, so now as I track my progress, I'm at 8,170 feet. Right now, it's all about perseverance. You really do feel pain. In Hebrews 10, we're warned, my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he turns and shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. I'm at 9,350 feet, and that was really such a delight. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Now, before we set off together for the mountain summit of fullness in Jesus Christ, we need to first examine ourselves spiritually and doctrinally before we begin, to ensure that we have the spiritual fitness and stamina to endure the strain of the climb. As we see in the book of Jeremiah, before God could do anything with Israel, he first had to uproot, tear down, and destroy a great deal of what Israel believed about him. The next two videos we post before we begin the Old Lost Trail series will be called The Jenga Tower of Faith and Sweet Hybrid Faith, where we are going to first look at 40 sometimes shocking lies that are prevalent in the doctrinal beliefs of multitudes of modern Christians. And then we're going to look at how so much of what we have been taught about Christianity is man-made and not originally from God or the Bible. Think of John the Baptist crying out, "Make straight paths for the Lord to travel," before Jesus arrived on the scene. Let us be sure we are not carrying anything false or displeasing to the Lord in our backpacks, which can prevent us from receiving the Lord's much-needed grace to get us all the way to the top of this beautiful spiritual mountain. Think of it kind of like a medical examination before we go on the climb. Please don't miss it. Hey guys, it's Michael. Before you leave, let me just share a couple of things and let me ask you a favor. I really am curious. So is Lisa. What was your first reaction when you saw not one, but two Michaels walk on to the scene of this video? Did it freak you out? Did it make you wonder if it was AI? Let me know in the comments below. Number two, you know that about 2.5 years ago, the Lord had us put the kibosh on the Relentless Heart YouTube channel. About a year ago, I started to have this wondering and this desire if the Lord was moving me to start another YouTube channel. We've waited all this time for him to tell us yes. And to his praise, he's allowing us to start it up now with the Old Lost Trail. I'm not going to be asking in these videos for you to like and subscribe in the comment. I just don't like doing it. But as you've been told by 1,000 other YouTubers, it really does make a big difference. And you, if you value this content, if you see the importance and the weight, the eternal weight that this message, the need to expose the counterfeit and show the authentic in this terrible artificial age we're in. If you believe in that and you'd like to be, perhaps, one of the reasons why someone else gets to click on a video, please like, please subscribe, please turn on notifications for your own benefit. Don't miss these series. I think you're going to be truly, truly blessed. And finally, let me ask you this. In that comment section, after you answer question number one about the two Michaels, if you're courageous enough and brave enough, tell us, what is it that is most frightening to you right now about AI? And how is your faith impacting it so far? Let us know. We're going to read all the comments. We love you. We're so thankful that the Lord's let us come back. Can't wait to see you in the very first episode. God bless you in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.